Hello everyone, welcome to the 13th episode of the series of podcasts with IEEE Electron Devices Society Luminaries. As the world's largest professional organization, IEEE plays significant role to enhance the quality of our life. Electron Devices Society, or EDS, encompasses activities involving electron devices, the main enabler for today's digital world. I'm Mohammad Mustafa Hussein, the Professor of Electrical Engineering and Computer Science of University of California, Berkeley. I play a variety of roles in different capacities within the Electron Devices Society of IEEE. In this series of podcasts, we will be interviewing those EDS members who have made remarkable impacts in our society through their innovations and dedication. Our guest today is someone whose passion for electronics and dedicated innovation in Intel Corporation for 42 years has driven Moore's Law to yield the computing gadgets we use today. United States National Academy of Engineering member Mark Bohr joined Intel in 1978 after graduating from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign with a master's in electrical engineering. He worked in Intel's Logic Technology Development Group in Hillsboro, Oregon, developing 20 generations of memory and logic technologies. His last position in Intel was Intel Senior Fellow and Director of Process Architecture and Integration. He retired from Intel in 2019 after 42 years and now working as a part-time consultant for Intel. He is a fellow of IEEE, the winner of 2003 IEEE Andrew Grove Award and 2012 IEEE Junichi Nishizawa Medal. He holds 90 patents in the area of integrated circuit processing. He authored or co-authored more than 50 published papers. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just great. How are you doing, Mohammed?
I am doing fine. Glad to meet with you. So I will start from the very beginning. And that is, how was your childhood and school life? Any regret?
Certainly no regrets. I grew up in suburban Chicago. I had some very supportive parents. My father was an engineer, and he was very hands-on. He was always building things and repairing things around the house. So some of that rubbed off on me. And although I tried building things, I wasn't always successful. But one project I was proud of, between my sophomore and junior year of high school, I built a telescope. This was an 8-inch diameter reflecting telescope, and I built it all, including grinding and polishing the 8-inch mirror to a precise parabolic shape. I didn't know it then, but that experience taught me a bit about chemical mechanical polishing, which was adopted by Intel and many other companies about 20 years after I did it on my telescope. So that was a good preparatory experience.
Well, at the same time, like, you know, all the lenses that you prepared, you know, that they have helped to advance the lithography, and that kind of, you know, that keeps the Moore's Law going on. Okay. Well, definitely you were inspired by your father. You were very handsome, seems like, you know, that to do things, to break things and to rebuild them, right? So was that a catalyst that you chose engineering as a field of study going forward?
Well, that was certainly part of it. Just the example my father provided and my own experience trying to build things. But in school, you know, some of my favorite classes were biology, chemistry, physics, and I was good at math. So, you know, by the time I graduated from high school, I knew I wanted to be an engineer.
Very good. So tell us about your college student life. That's where it started.
Well, growing up in Illinois, I was lucky that when I went to the local college, it was the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, which was which is a very good engineering college, one of the top five in the nation. So I somewhat lucked out there. And as a freshman, although I knew I wanted to be an engineer, I admit I was unsure of exactly what field I would study. I started off in mechanical engineering, but then quickly got an interest in industrial engineering. And that's indeed what I got my undergraduate degree in, industrial engineering. But then, when I was a junior or so, I started to get interested in electrical engineering, and I went on and got a master's degree in EE. So I guess I enjoy many different fields of engineering.
Well, I'm pretty sure that helped, you going forward, because that I keep telling my students that semiconductor industry is so enriched because we have always embraced people from all different fields. And we have always, they appreciated their contributions. And so that has helped us to flourish furthermore. So in engineering, as you say that you started with mechanical engineering, then you switched to industrial engineering. In your junior year, you got involved in electrical engineering. There were so many different fields of engineering were out there. But it was good and great for all of us because you eventually chose electron devices, right? And that's where you made a seminal impact. So what really inspired you to choose electron devices as your passion, profession?
Well, I think two things got me interested in electron devices. First of all, about when I was a junior, I got bored of just taking classes. So I looked in the Campus One ads and I got a job as a lab technician in one of the electrical engineering research labs, which happened to be run by a pretty famous professor, Professor C.T. Sa, and he focused on semiconductor devices. So that was my first exposure to semiconductor devices. And then in my senior year, as I was still working to complete my industrial engineering degree, I took an integrated circuits processing lab. So I made my first integrated circuit at Illinois. And I think after that class, after that lab, I was hooked. I knew I wanted to be an integrated circuit process engineer.
Great. So after your college, what was your first job out of college?
Ah, okay. Well, first job was with Intel. I interviewed with, I think, five or six different companies. By the way, I think three or four of them no longer exist, which kind of, is a sign of the times. Back in the 80s, companies were coming and going, but I interviewed with Intel in Santa Clara, and I started to work for Intel in Santa Clara. That was in 1978. But I had an interesting introduction to the industry. Joined Intel in February of 78, and then about 4 months later, the development project that I was a part of got canceled. And then my boss left Intel, my boss's boss left Intel. So that was, after only 5 or 6 months, it appeared my career at Intel was doomed. But luckily, Intel was very good, and they offered me several other options. There were two other development projects I could have joined in Santa Clara, but they also offered me the option to transfer up to Oregon, where Intel was forming a new technology development group. And, maybe some of you listeners won't like what I have to say, but coming from Illinois, at first I was excited to go to Silicon Valley. But then once I got there, I thought, gee, it's kind of crowded and expensive. I was just very happy, and I jumped at the chance to transfer up to Oregon. And I worked up in Oregon for 41 years, and been very happy up here.
I think it's depending on the personal choice. We used to live in Texas for 17 years, but I was in California. I did my master's in USA. when I came to USA first in 2001 and 2002. And then we we came here in Berkeley. So when I asked my daughters, so they say that they like it better here. they were kids at that point. Now they're a different person, I would say. As you have said, wherever our the destiny takes us, and we also try to build our own destiny. Anyway. So you have spent, if I'm not that wrong, 42 years in Intel.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And you have worked on many, many projects, but more importantly, most of them, they have directly been applied to the computers, the computing gadgets, any kind of the electronic gadgets which has computing ability, that they there is your touch is there. So my question is that what is the specific work in your portfolio you are very proud of?
Well, actually, let me talk about two different types of work that I'm proud of. Maybe the first project that I'm proud of was one of the first ones I worked on at Intel. So I was only 4 months at Intel, working in Santa Clara. And Intel at that time was trying to develop a new contact etch process. Up until that point of time, contacts were always used, were etched using wet etching techniques. So they would blow out laterally and they'd be big and were not very scalable. So Intel, when I joined, was in the process of evaluating plasma etch or vertically etched contacts. And there was a big task force at the time involving all of the senior engineers at Intel in the development team and trying to develop this process. And they were having all sorts of problems and coming up with ever more complex process flows to help make it work. And although I wasn't directly involved in that task force, I attended a few and kind of saw what they were doing. And it seems like they were just going in the wrong direction. So I suggested, well, right now we're using a wet etch technique. You're trying to do a dry or vertically etched technique and it's not working. Why don't we try a hybrid, do a partial wet etch and a partial dry etch? Well, I was the new guy, only 4 months there, and none of the senior engineers thought this was worth it and more or less told me to go away. Well, I still thought it was the right approach. So I found two other young engineers to kind of team up with me. And we developed that, what we call a wet-dry process, and it worked remarkably well. And it was my first patent, and it was adopted by Intel for a couple of years. So I'm proud of that because it gave me confidence that even as a new engineer, I could still contribute. I could still bring ideas that could work. So I was proud of that. Now, later on, I got involved in some other very significant technologies, much, much larger teams than when I first joined Intel. But I was part of teams that developed the first strained silicon transistors at the 90 nanometer generation, the first high-k metal gate transistors at the 45 nanometer generations, and then the FinFETs. Intel was the first company to produce microprocessors using FinFET transistors on our 22 nanometer technology. So I was just one of several senior engineers working on those, but I was very proud to be a part of those projects and contribute to those advancements in the industry.
Great. It's actually to emphasize for our audience, some of them, they are not familiar with the semiconductor industries, the overall the scope. The first thing that you mentioned about the hybrid technology, it's for for the beginners. I teach microfabrication in Berkeley, and every year there is 30 students, and we actually have more enrollment, and students wait a year or two to actually get into this course. And when we go to the back end of line, like, you know, the, or even like, you know, the, when the metallization process module, we always talk, and contact module, we always talk about your patent because it actually helped to ensure that there will be no recess in the silicon, this hybrid method, as well as like, you know, that there is no plasma induced damage also, because we are very close and actually we are landing on the source and drain area.
And those are problems from 45 years ago. Wow.
No, but they are useful because, you know, that nowadays we have shrunk down the device dimensions and they have become more sensitive, right? Like, you know, now the more the parasitic losses are involved. So we have to be careful about. So those actually, those stories, they are helpful. So that's one. And secondly, I grew up as a high chemical gate for my PhD. The gate first integration in Intel Deep, the gate last. And those are remarkable work. So Gordon Moore actually said that that's the major, the change in the semiconductor industry in three decades. So that's where it started. And FinFET came just like, you know, the 3 years after in 2011. So that was also a remarkable departure from the planar to non-planar architecture. Fantastic time frame, and it's still ongoing.
Yeah, okay. Your listeners may not realize how big of a change converting from a SiO2 and polysilicon gate electrodes was going to, you know, hafnium-based high-K dielectrics combined with the metal gate electrode. That was a major change. A lot of process flow, performance, reliability issues that had to be resolved. And we had some, you know, very talented engineers at Intel working on that at the time. This was around 2006, or actually 2005, I think, in the development phase. And in our industry, you have to develop technologies on a certain cadence, you know, ideally every 2 years, now maybe closer to every 3 years, but you have to develop technologies on a certain cadence. And you have to have all the pieces come together at the right time. And I remember on the 45 nanometer generation, we were developing high-K metal gate. We had working transistors, but they were still not meeting their performance and their reliability requirements. But time was up in terms of the schedule. We had to make a decision, a commitment to either go ahead with high-K metal gate on 45 or wait for a whole nother generation, wait until the, you know, 2 years later, the 32 nanometer. Well, we didn't want to wait, but I remember being in a conference room with the maybe five other senior engineers working on this that included device physics and process integration and reliability. And I remember going around the room and pointed to each member, okay, should we commit to high K or not on this generation? And as I went around the room, each one said, yes. So as a team, we decided, yeah, we can take this chance, even though we don't have all the data yet. It's time to make a decision. And the team agreed to make that commitment. And it turned out to be a very successful technology for Intel.
Yep, exactly. Okay. So those are the two that you are very proud of. And is there any other projects that you would like to talk about?
Well, I've had so many at Intel, and it's hard to pick, you know, one that's favorite, but I just enjoyed so much working as a part of a team of engineers from the process modules, from device physics, from reliability, from TCAD, you know, modeling and simulations, working together to try to sort out, you know, and discover what can work and what doesn't work. So I'm just very proud of being a member of Intel's logic technology development team for so many years.
Okay. We'll be back again to go through some of the, some of your perspectives about the future. I would like to actually start our rapid fire round, which is very popular with our younger audience. They actually think that they can know about our the luminaries more up close. And whenever you're ready, we prefer you to give a short answer, but you know, you're not restricted. the more you spill out, the more actually is more fun. Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. What are your hobbies?
All right. I like hiking, gardening, wine tasting, and since I retired a few years ago, I volunteer at two hospitals in my region.
Fantastic. Music or movie, which one you enjoy more?
Actually, I don't pay much attention to new releases, either new music or new movie releases. I don't think they're very interesting, but there are a lot of classic music and a lot of classic movies that I enjoy.
Okay. Which is your favorite genre of music and movie?
Well, for music, I have a wide range of interests. Of course, classical music, like from Beethoven, Mozart, but also some of the classic rock music from the 70s and 80s, even some country and Western music. For movies, as I said, I don't really pay much attention to new releases, but there are some, I think, great movies from the past. Just about any movie by the director Stanley Kubrick, which includes 2001 A Space Odyssey, of course, the Alien and Aliens series, and Japanese movies by the director Kurosawa. So those are some of my favorites.
Yeah, they're legendary directors, and these are classic movies. What book are you reading now?
Well, right now, in early fall, the weather is nice, so I do a lot of outside stuff, so I don't read many books during the good weather months, but in the colder, rainier weather months, I like to read history and biography. I like to read about how people in history, how they dealt with very stressful situations and what decisions they made and how they made them.
Okay, that's insightful. What is your favorite cuisine?
Well, if you're talking about eating out at restaurants, I eat all sorts of things. I eat Chinese, Japanese, Mexican, German. I like it all. But at home, it's simpler. I tend to just grill meat on the barbecue and occasionally bake some pies. So that's my at-home food.
Okay. Very good. So you say you do hiking. Any sports rather than hiking you enjoy?
Well, if you talk about what sports I watch on TV, the answer is very little. I may watch some of the Olympics occasionally and maybe the Super Bowl, but that's it. But for sports I do personally, of course, I hike and I run marathons.
Okay.
Now let me clarify that. What I told you is the truth, but now let me tell you the whole truth. I've run exactly two marathons in my life, so that qualifies me for the plural. And even though the last marathon I ran was way back in 2003, I claim I'm still in training for my next marathon. Thus, I run marathons.
Okay, very good. Okay. What is your favorite travel spot?
Well, lately, my wife and I have enjoyed visiting some national parks, especially national parks with a lodge on them. And just 2 weeks ago, we were on in the Grand Canyon National Park, the North Rim, and they have a really nice lodge there. It's a beautiful place to visit, the North Rim of Grand Canyon.
Okay. Okay. So now coming back and we will try to look at the future through your eyes. And we will bring some of the past stuff. If you were to start all over again, would you do what you have done or choose completely new profession or something?
Well, it depends on what you mean by start over. If you mean start over as a freshman in college, I think I would have gone right into electrical engineering. Now, would I have ended up as an integrated circuit process engineer? Probably, but I got there. I got into this industry by some very fortuitous experiences, working in the electrical engineering research lab and taking a great integrated circuits lab. So I think if I had those same experiences, I would end up just where I am today. But who knows? But starting over in college would be a fun event, but I think it'd still be double E and probably still end up where I am.
Okay, great. What is your thought about electronics in the future?
Well, you know, the integrated circuit industry has proven to be very inventive and very resilient. Scaling and Moore's law have been declared dead many times, but we keep inventing ways to continue it. And I described some of the key inventions earlier, you know, inventions like strained silicon, high-K metal gate, and FinFETs were all very important inventions that, you know, weren't envisioned 10 years prior to their invention, and yet they turned out to be very key in enabling our industry to continue scaling. And now the next big frontier in integrated circuits is 3D chip stacking. You know, Intel and other companies are starting to do more and more of that, integrating whole systems into one package using a variety of chips that are connected together in a dense way. So I think 3D stacking is the next important direction. And then my last point, I know it's been made, you know, maybe many times before by other luminaries in our industry, but whenever we start to doubt, you know, whether we can continue scaling, we only have to look at one key example, that the human brain, which can do amazing things with only 25 watts. So, you know, although it's a very different technology than silicon-based transistors, it shows that, far more sophisticated computing is possible. We just have to figure out the way to get there.
Right. I think you just put it accurately and perfectly, because, you know, right now the electron devices community in academia is much more the hybridized, because we have many of our colleagues coming from the background in chemistry and material science compared to us who just grew up with electron devices as electronics engineer, you know. So one question always shows up, that whether Moore's law will continue or not. Now, you know, the way that I see it is Moore's law is not about scaling. Moore's law is about, philosophically, that always try to do better and never stop, right? And I think our industry will continue doing that, because we grew up with the big bulky televisions. Now those are slim televisions. And more as we are seeing that the robotic vehicles are entering in our society, the IoT gadgets, the bio integration, and they will basically open up new paradigms with the existing applications that we have for electronics. So we will always need the transistors. We will need more and more of a different kind of devices, and we will keep integrating them. I think that's the way it will continue.
I think you've made two important points that I'll just reemphasize. Number one, one aspect that I love so much about the integrated circuit industries is that it combines engineers with so many different backgrounds, electrical engineers, material scientists, physicists, chemical engineers. And it's just, it has been a delight to me. It was a delight to me for so many years working with those experts and working together to solve a particular problem. And the other point is that the integrated circuits is not just about scaling transistor size. It's really how to provide or develop that next generation product that is better in some way, cheaper, faster, smaller, but just doing more things than what we are presently able to do with today's technology.
Yep. Okay. What is your advice for the younger generation?
All right, my key bit of advice is to think of engineering as a team sport. It is a team sport. And to succeed as an individual engineer, you have to learn how to effectively present your ideas to a group. You need to learn how to listen to ideas from other people, other engineers in your group. And you need to learn how to collaborate as a team. So again, engineering is a team sport, and if you have that attitude, you'll be very successful.
Great. Okay, it was great talking to you, Mark. And my last question, which is not scripted, is, is there anything that you wanted to talk, but I didn't ask?
Mohammed, I think you had a really good set of questions, so I think you covered it. Hopefully my answers have come across that I really enjoyed my engineering career at Intel. I hope other engineers, young engineers find their niche in the industry and enjoy their careers as much as I did.
Great. Thank you so much for your time. And thanks for being such an inspiring luminary in our field of electron devices. I had the opportunity to hear you in many of the IEDM sessions, and because of my personal, I grew up, as I said, as a high chemical gate and then FinFET, the integration person. So many of your talks, many of your works, they have helped us to actually push this technology going forward, and it's going strong, and it's going to be stronger. And thanks for being that inspirational. Thanks for your time. And we'll be in touch.
Okay, thank you, Mohammed. Really glad I had this opportunity. Thank you again.
Thank you for attending this IEEE EDS-sponsored podcast. To listen to other EDS podcasts, as well as benefits and resources EDS offers, please go to the website eds.ieee.org. Thank you for listening.